You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
And welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday, June 17th, 2024. This is Grandpa Dan streaming at RadioAlbion.com. It's already Monday. Can you believe it? It's just time keeps flying by, and we're keeping up with the times here at Radio Albion. I appreciate you tuning in this week. Got a great show, hopefully, and hopefully you'll think it's great. And always, I want to remind you, we have our Sven Longshank support links here on the page for the Daily Nationalist. Continue to encourage you to drop him an email or a postcard or whatnot. We're going to keep Sven, let him know we got him in our thoughts and our prayers. We look forward to the day he gets released. Well, things we're not looking forward to is more war. And of course, that seems to be what's on the menu. Whether you want it or not, we apparently are going to get more war. Conflicts flaring up all over the world. Nuclear saber rattling. Threats of nuclear war, things getting out of hand, and there doesn't seem to be anybody putting the brakes on all this, whether you want to look at the conflicts involving Israel. They're trying to gin up conflicts with China, and of course the ongoing conflict with Russia, which has gone really very much from simply being a proxy war. It's getting more and more. That line separating proxy war to direct conflict is very quickly vanishing. And of course, as this happens, they're going to need people to go fight and die for America, for the flag. Recently, a bill passed, or passing a bill, I don't think it's finished going through, you know, automatically registering people to put them on the draft list. Now, in a way, this is not 100% new. People, when they turn 18, men, when they turn 18 in this country, and I think they recently changed that where women are supposed to as well. But men, for years, even when I was a young man, you have to be required to register for selective service. Now, you hear that name, like everything the government does, and the names are kind of misleading. It's selective service, which almost implies like you have the option of selecting to serve. Of course, what that means is they have the option to select you to serve, whether you like it or not. They don't call it registering for the draft. That's harder to market to people. So they call it selective service. Now, we've been required, like I say, when I turned 18, I had to sign up for the draft in case they need you in an emergency. Well, this new measure would just automatically do it for you, so you can't just maybe forget or not do it. It automatically does you. And people point it out and say, well, really, it's nothing new. It's just streamlining it. And yet we read these stories, such as we're going to have today, and they're obviously having problems getting people to volunteer to sign up. And as we see these conflicts flaring up, it's undeniable that they are moving towards selecting your service because they're not going to have any choice. They're running out of people willing to volunteer. So at some point, they're going to have to try to force people to do so. And again, this legislation to automatically register everybody, I don't think there's any way to look at it aside from they're moving towards this. They're moving towards ever closer. It's a step closer to enacting a draft. Now, today's story comes from RT. As most of the time, I use a lot of RT stories. And the headline is American Men Shunning Army Media, with a subheading of the nation's males have reportedly lost interest in military service as they increasingly withdraw from society. Let's get into this. American men have reportedly lost interest in military service as they increasingly withdraw from society more broadly, driving the persistent shortfalls in U.S. Army recruiting and raising the nation's reliance on female troops. Now, I have to pause right there and automatically take issue with even this opening paragraph. It says, as they withdraw from society more broadly. And I think a very good argument could be made that men have been driven from society. What aspect of society have men, and let's be specific what we're talking, because they say men, and what they're talking about here is white men. I mean, that's what they're saying. And, you know, in what aspect of society have white men not been driven from society? Not withdraw. They've just been driven out of society. If you turn on the TV, there's not going to be a white man to be seen in any advertisement unless he's obviously projecting as being homosexual. Or he's the butt of some sort of joke. He's the buffoon. He doesn't know what he's doing. He has to be corrected by the strong, empowered woman of color or whoever else has been declared by society to be his better. There's no shortage of stories of well-qualified white men going into applying for many jobs, and yet they sit down and they basically get shunned off. They're going to hire a diversity hire. We've got to do this diversity, this DEI thing, which means no white men need apply. And yet, we hear this badgering. Oh, they're withdrawing from society. They're not withdrawing from society. Society has told them over and over again, we don't need you. Furthermore, we don't even want you. We want these other people. Now, this isn't putting down the other people, but when society, supposed society, tells you we don't want you, we don't need you, don't apply, just disappear from our sight, and men do that now all of a sudden, because now they've alienated their traditional pool of people they need to go fight and die in their stupid wars. Now they've alienated these people. Oh my gosh, we have a problem. And the framing of this is always the same. The problem is the men. They've driven men out of society. They've driven men, told them you don't need a job. We don't want you in our jobs. We don't want anything to do with you. We're not even going to put you on TV unless you're a joke. Men shrug their shoulders and say, yeah, okay, we'll piss on you then. I'll go over here and be a neat or whatever. Maybe I'll go just be self-sufficient, buy me some land or something and just not have anything to do with you. And now all of a sudden they need those same people, these same men, because that's their traditional pool of fighting people to go fight in their stupid wars. And the guys are like, yeah, no, we've already withdrawn. You don't need us. You've already told us you don't need us. Oh, and now all of a sudden, there's a problem. Why they say they're having to raise the nation's reliance on female troops. Why is that a problem? I thought women were better at everything. Hell, let's just have an all-female army. What could be the problem? And of course, in the backdrop of what I brought up earlier, they're obviously moving forward towards a draft. Because they know they're not going to be able to rely on female soldiers. There's no such thing. There are females in the military. They're not soldiers. They're doing busy work. They're putting them in office. There's only so many clerical positions, and you're not going to fight and win wars with clerical positions. Somebody's got to take up a gun and crawl around in the mud or through the desert and shoot people and get blown up themselves. And that's not going to be done by women. It's just not. It's like when they go on about, you know, our brave men and women in the military who have fought and died for, stop, it's men. If it's not, then what's the problem? Heck, forget men altogether and just focus on recruiting more women, since that's where your success apparently is. Just forget those that don't want to join and just focus. Let's do an all-female military. Why, it would be a stroke of victory for diversity and equality. Male enlistment has plunged by 35% in the past decade, dropping from around 58,000 in 2013. 13 to 37,700 last year, military.com reported on Friday, citing U.S. Army recruiting data. At the same time, female enlistment has held steady at around 10,000 recruits each year. Again, you really just have to love the way they ignore the elephant in the room. Why is that? Why would that be? Why would men just decide not to? Now, there's been, you know, to turn the question over and say, why would anybody want to join the military? Well, for a lot of years, the men that were signing up, and of the men that are signing up, they say they're down to 37,700 from around, what did they say here? Yeah, 58,000. Of those, okay, why are those who are signing up? Why are they signing up? And by and large, it's for basically lack of economic opportunity. You know, young men get out of high school and they don't have any job prospects. You know, they know that you can go work some dead-end job, and here come the recruiter vultures. And there's no, well, I won't say no, but on your list of scummy professions to have in this society, as it were, military recruiter is among some of the scummiest. You know, we've all seen the videos of the quote-unquote recruiters in the Ukraine and their press gangs. They force these guys to go on the meat grinder, and you know, so they can stay back at home and not go to the meat grinder themselves. Military recruiters swoop in on these young men right out of high school. Heck, they don't even wait till they're out of high school now. And they show up and start telling them, oh, man, you're going to go see the world. You're going to be knee deep in foreign coochie. You're going to make all this money, which is a lie. You're going to get all of these benefits, and you're going to be a hero. And by golly, you're going to become, your people are going to respect you as you walk around in your uniform. And by and large, the ones they do get are ones that look around there and then they're like, well, there's nothing else I've got going on. I have no future. I've got no prospects of moving up the society, the economic ladder. You know, they never talk about, they talk about college for every college. They've dumbed down college, try to send everybody to college, which of course really is just a debt scheme. They want to get people, you know, signed up for slavery as early as possible. But back in the day, there were people who weren't, you know, they knew they weren't qualified for college, you know, but then they could go into other jobs and make a decent living. And those are all gone. They've been shipped overseas. And the few that haven't been shipped overseas, they've imported cheap labor to take those jobs so that the domestic male population has nothing. And this serves to funnel them into the military apparatus. It's a feature. It's not a bug. You don't have any economic opportunities. Oh, the recruiter comes up and lies to you and tell you how you're just going to have all this money, cars, women. You're going to see the world. You're just going to broaden your horizons. When you get out, you'll be a hero. You're going to get practically free college. Another lie. You're going to get all of these things. And these guys with no opportunity say, well, why not, I guess. And yet, even with that, it's not working anymore. More and more men are saying, yeah, no, I think I'll take a hard pass. I'll watch anime, play video games, whatever the hell else is better than going in and what you're proposing. Declines in the number of men who are willing to sign up for military service have left the Army unable to meet its recruiting quotas. The largest U.S. military branch fell short of its targets for new troops by about 10,000 enlistments last year and by 15,000 in 2022. Other branches have had similar shortfalls. The Army reduced its enlistment target by 10,000 troops this year, aiming for 55,000. U.S. Representative Matt Gaetz, Republican Florida, and other conservative politicians have blamed the military's recruiting crisis on, quote, woke ideology, emphasizing such criteria as race, gender, and sexual orientation at the expense of readiness to fight America's wars. The latest Reagan National Defense Survey, released in November, showed that only 46% of Americans have a, quote, great deal of trust in their nation's military, down from 70% in 2018. That's quite a plummet. About half of respondents cited woke practices as a reason for declining confidence. And I would argue with that to a certain extent, because people don't have the, most people can't articulate exactly what it is. So the easiest thing they can say is, oh yeah, it's all of this woke nonsense. They can't articulate. That's one of the things we're here to do at Radio Albion, is to articulate these things in a way that regular people can't necessarily put into words. The idea is you can hear it and say, yeah, yeah, that's what I mean. They get, some average Joe gets asked in a poll or a survey why you don't want to have anything to do with it, and they see woke as an option here to check off of the list, and they don't have a way to put it in words, so they check that off without putting it into so many words. But they've always been able to maintain the separation. I've always found it humorous, because you would have these people, older people, and they'll bitch and criticize conservatives. They'll sit there and talk about the government. You know, they don't trust the government. Boy, I tell you, the government. The government is just so untrustworthy. But then when the topic becomes the military, they act as though the military or the police, you can lump them in as well, but the topic today is the military, are not a part of the government. I've always found that to be an amazing disconnect. They'll sit here and talk about government corruption, government wastes money, the government's untrustworthy, and when the topic becomes the military or the police, all of a sudden there are heroes who can do no wrong. Somehow the military is not inefficient like the rest of the government. Somehow the military is not corrupt like the rest of the government. Somehow the military has got this magical barrier around it and they can do no wrong, even though the rest of the government is obviously a rotting corpse of corruption. It doesn't make any sense. And obviously that disconnect, while it might work to a certain extent with older people, it's failing to sell with younger people. Now, people will shame men over this. Boomers. This isn't meant to be boomer hate, but it's a real, we just talk about reality. It'll sit there and say, you need to go do your duty. You need to go serve. When your country calls, buddy, let me tell you what you need to do. You need to just pull yourself up by the bootstraps and you need to go die for Uncle Sam and be a hero. I find this curious, because have you noticed that you don't ever run into any boomers who proudly tell you, I was a draft dodger. I burned my draft card because I said, I'm going to go die in your stupid war. No, they're all Vietnam vets. They're all heroes who did their duty, whether they really were or not. Where did they all go? We've seen the videos. You've got the pictures. You can look at the old videos from back in the day. And all these guys with their long hair on the college campuses, when they got their draft notice, they burned it. They were out there chanting, hell no, I won't go. They run off to Canada. And I'm not saying they were wrong to do that. That is the right call in hindsight. You know? And yet, those guys have disappeared. Where are the boomers to proudly stand up and say, you know what? You're making the right call, young man. Don't go join the military. I burned my draft card. I told them I ain't going to go die in your stupid war in Vietnam. It has nothing to do with us. They're nowhere to be found. Every damn boomer is a Vietnam vet who proudly stood up and served his country. Now, that's not possible. Where are the draft dodgers? Not me, buddy. Let me tell you, I did my part for America. And now it's time for you to go do your part. Another thing on this topic. How is it that the generation that burned their draft cards and had enough sense at that time, again, I'm not running down the draft dodgers. You look back, those guys made the smart move. Who's better off today? The guy who just took his draft card down there and went and got his legs blown off in Vietnam, or the guy who said, this is stupid, I'm not going to do that, I'll go to Canada and smoke weed and get laid. Who made the better choice? I mean, let's. And yet now, among the same demographic, this generational demographic, they're the greatest warmongers. You go through, When this conversation comes up, they're the ones going, by golly, we got to go show them. We, again, not them. Well, I'm too old, but I went and served in Nam. Sure you did. They're the biggest warmongers. They're the ones going, it's nobody. You got to get out of your mom's basement. Quit playing video games and go die for America. But you're still here and your legs aren't blown off. I was one of the lucky ones. What we have here is a situation where in generations previous, the narrative was you got to go and fight for your nation, your people, your extended kinship. We circle this back to what they're really talking about. You have to read between the lines because they won't come out and say it in these studies. They're talking about white men. You know, I mean, that's fine. They'll draft the blacks and the Hispanics, too. I mean, they're not off the list. They're not going to get a pass. But really what they're, because of the percentages, what they're really talking about here is white men. Now, back when you had a majority white country, you had an actual nation, which is extended family. You have a shared kinship. They could convince men to go and fight for their nation, for their people. Even though the narratives they gave to justify that were ridiculous and stupid, you don't want your people, you know, having to speak German or Japanese or whatever, you know, Vietnamese. They could still sell it because people look around and say, like, well, I need to go fight for my people. You know, my fellow kinship, my extended kinship are over here already in these wars getting killed. You know, I need to be honorable and go fight with them, you know, to go help them achieve a victory for our group. We don't have that anymore. America's not even a nation. I refuse to call this a nation because it's not. It's a country. I just call it a country for lack of a better term. Paul Craig Roberts refers to it as a Tower of Babel, you know, because you have all of these just different groups together, and that's the reality. And because that's reality, you've gone from trying to sell people on you need to go fight, you know, for your extended family, for your nation. There's no way to escape the transition to the narrative now. The reality now is that you need to go fight for your government. See, that's the difference. They can't tell you you're going to fight for your nation because it doesn't exist and nobody really thinks it does. There's no escaping that now the demand is you need to go fight for this government. And who wants to do that? White men have no reason to do that. Hell, black men have no reason to do that. Not really. Who wants to go fight for this government? Really, who wants to do that? The corruption has reached such a critical mass that nobody can not see it. Anybody who doesn't see it is just either really, really stupid or they're just making a conscious decision to ignore it and not see it because it's too unpleasant to look at it and to confront it. Nobody looks at these politicians and goes, these are some very moral and upright people. Nobody, literally nobody thinks that. When you have all of them running around trying to moralize and defend the ethnic cleansing, the genocide, the slaughter in Gaza, nobody's looking at these guys and going, wow, they're really more, these are some really moral people running this thing. Who wants to go fight and die for the government? They could sell it before with their ridiculous stories because at the end of the day, people felt like, well, I need to go fight with my extended family. You know, we are all on the same team. This may not even be a good idea, but I do need to go help my kinsmen who are out there already dying. That's gone. Now the narrative is you need to go fight for the government. And ain't nobody want to go do that. Why would anyone want to go do that? Again, most people can't articulate this, so they wind up checking off the woke ideology box. Let's get back to the story. However, the military.com report noted that beyond cultural issues, experts pointed to broader issues with American men, including a, quote, national crisis of masculinity. Rates of suicide and drug overdoses have risen. While men have become less likely to attend college or build a career, in fact, the media outlet said U.S. men are, quote, slowly disappearing from the general workforce. And it's all just some sort of accident. They're weak, they're effeminate, they're all killing themselves and doing drug overdoses. They're pointing to the symptoms and being like, we don't have any idea why this happened. You want to talk about victim blaming? Oh, we don't know. We don't have any idea how this came out. It's just a mystery. We don't know. Why are men all doing drug overdoses? Why, they're disappearing from the general workforce. How come? Well, because no one will hire them. They're not attending college or building a career. I wonder why. Why are they deciding to not do that? The trend goes way beyond military recruitment, said Ronald Levant, an Ohio psychology professor and former president of the American Psychological Association. Like, we need a psychiatrist to tell us why people are doing something that's absolutely, this implies that there's something wrong. There's something wrong with these people. We can't explain it. There must be some sort of mental illness going on. When the reality is, as we've outlined and articulated here today, is actually what's happening is a very logical thing. If you look around and say, well, I can go into debt for college, or I can go apply for jobs and no one's going to hire me, and the jobs that I can get hired on, I can work my ass off, and I still am not going to be able to even afford an apartment, much less a wife and start a family. Well, I can do that or just not do anything. It's basically the same outcome. What they're kvetching about here is actually people making a very logical choice. Why would you do that? Why would you join the army and go fight for the government who has put you in this position? What? Oh, anyway, let's see what this guy has to say. It really has to do with social change. I think there's an amotivational syndrome that seems to permeate a lot of young men today. They're just not motivated to do very much. And why the hell would that be? Please, pray tell, why would that be? Just came out of nowhere. It's a syndrome. Just 64.9% of U.S. men held a job as of last month. Why don't they want to go join the army and defend the status quo? The government that they view, the government that has put them in this position, how come they don't want to go defend that? Only 64% of them held a job as of last month. But wait a minute, media. Hold on. I thought we had record low unemployment. You see how they lie. It's just one lie after another lie after another lie. We have record low unemployment. Why, only this single digit unemployment. The economy's booming. And now, on the other hand, only 64.9% of U.S. men held a job as of last month. Which is it? Because it can't be both. How the hell do only 64.9% of men have a job, but we have record low single digit unemployment? You see the contradiction? Because they lie. Down from a peak of over 84% in the 1950s. Yeah, these are symptoms. In the 1950s, 84% of men had a job because they could work a job, and on basically any kind of job, they could afford, they could save, they could rent a place, have money left over to save up for down payment on a house. While they're renting a place, they could go ahead and get married and get started on their family while still saving up. They could go buy a car for cash. And now you can't do any of those things. You can't even afford a little studio apartment. According to the Federal Bureau of Labor Statistics, over the same period, female participation in the labor force has nearly doubled to 55.4%. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Push the men out of the labor force because you're hiring women instead. This statistic, that they bullshit you with their statistics, but you can go through them and find the contradictions and say, yes, there's your statistics are proving my point. They're not hiring more women because they do a better job. Let's be real. They're pushing the men out, hiring the women, and now it's like, oh my gosh, we got a war going. We need these men. Just draft more women. There's your answer. Oh, but that won't work. You don't get to piss all over men, tell them they can't have any opportunities or in any future. Oh, but by the way, we need you to go fight and die for us so we can make more money. So the banks can rake in more money. The military contractors can rake more money in, and the politicians can get their cut. It's getting hard to sell that. Everything in this country is always driven on the economic front. It's always driven to suppress wages. They got women into the workforce decades ago. They pushed women into the workforce. This was a two-pronged thing. For one thing, it suppressed the price. You got more competition for the jobs. It's a race to the bottom. Then they import more people. Race to the bottom. Keep wages suppressed. Well, you've suppressed wages to the point now nobody has any kind of future, and yet you want people to go fight and die for that? It goes beyond that. I've touched on it before, but it's been a long time ago. I'm going to touch on it real quick here. Getting women into the workforce, going back to getting women into the workforce, is because this usury debt system, which is what the economy is, the monetary system is based on usury. The money supply has to constantly be expanding. And to do that, you have to have more people going into debt. Well, if women are staying at home and keeping house and raising their families, raising their kids and taking care of things at the house, they're not going into debt. They're out of that debt pool. By getting women into the workforce, now you opened this up. They have to borrow the money to have an extra car. And now these women have a job. They're applying and they're getting credit cards. And that was a move to expand the debt. Again, I don't want to get too far off into that because it'll take too much time. But for the money to continue to expand, which is what's required to keep this fake economy going, you've got to have people borrowing. You've got to have people in debt. And that was one of the earlier moves, is when we get women in the workforce, you have more potential debt slaves right there. A woman staying at home isn't going into debt. She doesn't even have any credit. And she has no reason to go borrow money. Her husband's working for a living. Let's finish this story out. U.S. Army demographic data shows that the military has become less male, imagine that, and less white in recent years. The active duty force was 84.4% male in 2023, down from 86.4% a decade earlier. Whites accounted for only 53.5% of the troops last year, down from 61.7% in 2011. But I thought this was supposed to be a good thing. You know, when Joe Biden years ago sat there, when he could still string two sentences together and talked about America becoming, you know, whites becoming a minority in America, he added, and that's a good thing. Well, if it's a good thing, then it's a good thing. We need fewer white people. We still have a majority white people in the military. We need to do something about that. If it's a good thing for the country to be less white and less male, then it's got to be, by extension, a good thing everywhere. If it's a good thing to have fewer white men in positions that actually pay decent, then it's got to be a good thing in the military. You don't get to have your cake and eat it too. You don't get to sit here and crap all over these guys. And then now when you're ginning up all of these wars, you need your traditional pool of fighting men to come up to the task. And they're like, yeah, no, I don't think I will. I'm going to nope out here. I just stay at home. You offered me no future. You demonize me. You ridicule me in every aspect of this so-called society. You can go and you can fight your own damn wars. They've painted themselves into a corner. They need these guys to do it, and they've got nothing to offer. They've got nothing to offer them. They've got nothing. They got nothing to sell. They're here trying to sell them on going and fighting and dying in some trench somewhere. And there's no payoff. They can victim blame and name call all they want to. But like it says in the Bible, it's better to be a live dog than a dead lion. We're going to wrap up on that note. Appreciate you tuning in. I hope you get a chance. I'll be back tomorrow with the Parish of the Patriots. Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson will be here on Wednesday with his Orthodox Nationalist show. Of course, Dr. Johnson will be back Thursday with his always good Daily Nationalist with the geopolitical theme. Things going on in that front. Always good show. And I'll be back here for Funny Fridays. We're going to try to find some stuff to laugh about to wrap your week up. So I hope you'll get a chance to check out all of our content here for the rest of the week. As always, keep the faith, and we'll see you next time.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.